Hello and welcome to the latest episode of this LGC Investment Series podcast, brought to you by Local Government Chronicle. This episode was recorded at the recent LGC Investment and Pensions Summit, which was held in Leeds on the 7th and 8th of September 2023. Joining Deputy Editor of Local Government Chronicle Martin George is Roger Phillips, Chair of the LGPS Advisory Board. Councillor Phillips was speaking at the event and had this chat with Martin following his Scheme Advisory Board update session. For more on the local government pension scheme, including news, features and events, go to lgcplus.com/investment.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the LGC Investment Podcast. My name's Martin George, I'm Deputy Editor of the LGC. And I'm really pleased today to be joined by Roger Phillips, Chair of the LGPS Advisory Board. Welcome to the podcast, Roger.
Thank you very much, Martin.
Now, we're talking here, we're in Leeds, we're at the Royal Armouries. This is the LGC's Investment and Pensions Summit. And a big topic of discussion here, Roger, inevitably, has been the government's proposals for the future of the LGPS, the future of pooling. You're in a perfect position, I think, to give us a sense of what the LGPS community thinks so far. So we've had, 2 months of the consultation. People are working up their responses to put in by the 2nd of October. From the conversations you've had with people in the sector, what's the thinking?
Well, I think it's welcome that we've eventually got a consultation. We've been waiting for a long time. And I think the problem is that whilst government is consistent in its thinking about pooling from what its original proposals were in 2015, we've had a huge period in between when perhaps the whole project was allowed to drift. And I think the elephant in the room that the consultation doesn't really address is that we need funds very clearly to understand that they need to own this project and drive the project. And that hasn't been happening. And we've had, you know, various levels of participation and all the rest of it. We know that pooling makes sense from the point of view of economy of scale, centres of expertise, and that's probably more relevant today than it was back in 2015, given the changing pressures of the workforce and identifying those skills. But I think what I'm concerned about is that pools belong to the funds. Local government, as I said earlier, has a history of actually setting up companies to run their services or in-house back offices, sometimes on their own terms and sometimes in partnership with other councils. It's been a checkered history. So the concept is not foreign to local government, but somehow, as funds, we've not really taken ownership of the project. And what we should be doing is driving the project and actually driving for what suits us. So there's an evolution of pooling rather than having just now what's just happened in 2015, where it's been done to us. And we should be doing it the other way around.
I mean, it's a slightly backward looking question, but why do you think funds haven't had that ownership or drive? What has been missing and what can sort of bring that about going forwards?
Well, it was obviously it was done at pace when it was done, and there's a variety of, you know, all the pools are not the set up the same and all the rest of it. And then I think, and again, there was this great feeling that we've been disempowered, almost disenfranchised, which apart from one element was not true. The money still belongs, the investment strategy is still belonging to the funds. And I don't think there was that active engagement of government to encourage that ownership of the issue, and I still think that's the issue now that we've got. We should have been on a journey in the last 8 years on this, and people better understand. And then, of course, we had issues of some funds who stood on the sidelines and didn't participate. And there was nothing done and no comment was made. And that sent a message to everybody that, well, this is just drifting along now. And so, you know, there needed to be that lack of clarity about it all. And also we need government and we need to pressurise government to say, well, so with regard to infrastructure, then what are you going to do to help the market develop? I wrote to the minister back in April, the then minister in 2022, and said, what are you going to do about developing infrastructure funds? Well, of course, there's a lack of capacity in the department. There's a lack of capacity in the scheme advisory board. You know, and this was just let to drift.
Yeah. So, obviously, it's a quite wide-ranging consultation. A lot of it's about pooling. There are other issues as well, which we can discuss. But a key thing for the government is to pick up the speed of pooling, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they really want the funds to transition more of their assets much quicker. There's that deadline in there, is it March 2025, for all listed assets. And the government actually hopes everything, if you can, to be transitioned from funds to pools. Is that a realistic deadline? Is a deadline that it's too short and means that there'll be, you know, things will be done that don't have the best financial outcomes? You know, will there be additional unnecessary costs if there's a deadline that's too soon?
Which is, I go back to my original comment, that this should have been a project driven by funds with an evolution towards a pooling, rather than these forced deadlines, which are never very helpful. You know, we are enormously respectful of compliance in the LGPS, and I'm sure, you know, that will generally be achieved. But again, I go back to this business of this cultural feeling of it being done to us rather than us being in control of it, and I think that's what we need to do. It's not a happy way of doing it, but you know, we see the longer term gains.
Yeah, and I mean, I've reported at LGC over the years of, you know, looking at different funds, what percentage they've transitioned over. I mean, famously, Bromley has transitioned nothing. Others have transitioned very little. I mean, do you think those reluctant poolers will pool by this deadline, or are we going to see, you know, maybe even legal arguments, judicial reviews, do you think? How do you see this playing out?
Well, at the end of the day, we've got a fiduciary duty to our pensioners. So, you know, being involved in expensive legal cases is in nobody's best interest, let alone the pensioners who we're supposed to be serving. And I would hope, and again, I go back to this fact that over the years, there should have been a better dialogue, there should have been a better guidance from governments and persuasion of these matters. And so here we are now, back on a journey like we were in 2015. You know, with all of this, we're in a particular area, of course, where on investments on infrastructure and on local infrastructure in particular, call it levelling up, whatever you want to, there is, you know, there's a willingness of funds to invest locally. I mean, you know, they know their pensioners would be quite pleased, providing the returns are right, to be, shall we say, for example, invest in social housing, so that some of the money that's paying their pension is actually also providing affordable housing for, you know, local key workers. You know, we're pushing against an open door, but we have that fiduciary duty all the time, and we have to serve in our best interests. And, you know, and the other thing with it all, of course, at the background is we call ourselves, and we are technically the seventh largest scheme in the world, but we don't punch our weight. And I, you know, and that I think is the frustration that government and others have, that, well, why aren't you punching your weight? And surely you can punch your weight in a way that's of benefit to your pensioners. And so I think, you know, and that's something we can wrestle with and actually have that debate and say, well, that's what pooling can give us.
Well, let's stick with that theme of, you know, punching our weight, or, you know, frustration with government and fiduciary duty, because there can be a bit of a conflict there sometimes, I think. And I know that my article in this month's magazine is playing politics with the LGPS. The idea that some in the sector feel that the government is trying to achieve its political objectives through the local government pension scheme, and that really isn't what the LGPS is there for. I mean, we've got levelling up targets in the consultation. We've got a target for 10% of assets to be put into private equity. I sense a lot of pushback from practitioners on those issues. How do you see it?
My understanding is they're soft targets, they're guidance targets. And of course, what they've always discovered is that when they came out with these particular targets, that local government was already there. You know, we're already in that market. And as I say, and we were progressing. And this is where it's about evolution, and, you know, and we were making those sound fiduciary decisions anyway. at the end of the day, the government can have targets. The government can push us in certain directions. And there's no doubt that we will make some of those decisions, but they will be made on sound financial basis. We are a pension fund. We are not some grant-giving organisation. And yes, we may well go down those avenues of investment, but they will be done so with a proper risk analysis and doing our job properly.
That's interesting, because I sometimes wonder if it's a soft target and if pension funds have a hard fiduciary duty, surely the fiduciary duty will always win out. And you know, what's the point of government even setting soft targets?
Well, you can always set soft targets to encourage the development of thinking in that particular area, and that's fine. But as I said to you, we know what our business is. And of course, the other thing is about the competence and training of members, and that's perfectly sensible. No one's got any problem with that. I would remind everybody that the Scheme Advisory Board did submit a good governance paper 2.5 years ago to the department, and, you know, so it's nice that it's been picked up, but obviously most funds will have already picked that up and start working on that as well. And this is you know, this is what I mean. We know with 86 we're in different places, we're in different sizes, and so we've always got to make sure we keep an eye on everyone. But you know, there's a lot of good work going on in amongst the funds, but it is fundamentally about the funds getting a grip of the pooling system, driving the project forward and designing it to what they want to achieve and make it better as a financial investment for the benefit of their pensioners.
Now, a sort of longer term objective that's set out in the consultation is to have fewer pools. You know, there's no timescale for this, there's no mechanism for this, but there is a sort of longer term aim that we'll have fewer pools of at least, is it £50 billion, I think. One person I talked to said this is putting the cart before the horse. You're asking people to fund, to transition all their assets to pools without knowing whether the pool you're in will survive in 5 years' time. And then you're going to have to then rethink everything and then incur additional costs of transferring things to another pool and so on. I mean, do you have any sympathy for that view?
Well, yeah. I mean, the problem is that, you know, you're thinking about the final option rather than the transition towards it. And I'm sorry to keep repeating myself. My point is very clearly: if the funds must control the agenda, drive the agenda, yeah, ultimately there will be less pools, and that will be decided by the funds, and that will be decided by their experience and by them driving the project and saying. You know, I mean, it makes sense. If an infrastructure project comes up, we don't want 8 local government pools running after it. It would be better if we had 1 or 2 that were specialising in infrastructure that we could all access. And then those projects have to come to LGPS and say, would you please invest in ours? No, you know, make your case. Rather than us running after the coat and being on the coattails of the others. And that's what we ought to be doing to punch our weight. Now, we can do that as 86 funds driving forward over a period of time. And then ultimately, we will then decide how we, you know, merge and do that. And that's what I would like to see our funds do and engage in. And then send the challenge back to government and put it back on their doorstep.
I think my concern when I saw the consultation and that idea of, you know, pool mergers eventually, was, does that mean that funds and pools between now and then, people are going to be thinking, will my pool survive? How do I ensure my pool survives? Are we jockeying for position here? People who've got jobs, you know, will their job still be there in 5 years' time? Yeah, I can imagine that's soaking up a lot of capacity that could be spent more productively on achieving better investment returns, or does it mean? Do you see the sense that there'll just be this uncertainty and unsettled nature that's going to just distract from the core purpose of the LGPS?
I think there is a big risk of this, and this is why I say that's further down the line. Let's take ownership of this project. Let's drive it forward. Let it design it so it suits us and what we want. Yep, transfer it ultimately to the pools. Let's get all that done. But at the end of the day, driven by the funds who own the pools, and they will make the decisions. It is about the governance, and of course, The LGPS is all done in a goldfish bowl. It's, you know, wide open in transparency, which is an issue for us and a problem. You know, that's great, but it does create issues for us. And as you rightly say, too much time has been diverted. Well, are we, you know, we better think about this a couple of years down the line, when you actually need to concentrate on what you should be doing, investing and getting your returns, and dealing, of course, with the changing situation that we are maturing as a scheme. And, you know, everybody talks about cash flow as if it's some sort of little technical term. But what it says is that no longer do our income, you know, pay for all the pensions. We have to go after some of our investment income as well. And that's not a frightening thing. We knew that was going to happen, and that's fine. So let's deal with it in a mature way. And that, of course, starts to alter some of your thinking on investment. Use your pools accordingly and create that center of expertise to do it. And then, as I've said consistently, you drive that agenda to suit what works for you rather than have it done to you.
Do you think the government accepts that case, that it should be funds driving this? Because, I mean, government attention comes and goes to the LGPS. You know, George Osborne, it was on the... Yeah, the main stage at Conservative Party conference, he talked about the LGPS. You know, when's that ever happened? It then goes into abeyance. It then comes back with Jeremy Hunt and the Edinburgh reforms, the Mansion House speech and all of this. I mean, the government seems to be in a hurry at the moment. Presumably they'd just say, if you leave it to the funds to really push it, it's not going to achieve the objective we, the government, want.
I think I go back to this theme of mine. I think there should have been probably a little bit more, tighter encouragement and cooperation rather than just going back. So I think we do need a consistent line from government. And because I do think there will be some parts of the sector that do need to be encouraged a little bit more than others. But the evidence is there that, you know, that ultimately this is probably the way to go. But as I keep saying, government needs to recognise what our role is, and I think they would be very happy for funds to take more control of the situation, and I think, you know, that's what they should have been encouraging.
Yeah, can I ask a question that you're not going to answer? We've currently got 8 pools. Maybe we'll get down to 6 or 5. Which pools do you think are going to survive? Which pools are going to disappear?
I'll refer you to my previous answer, which is that is for the funds to decide. If the funds will drive the project, the funds will actually make that decision ultimately, because it is for them to do that over a proper, studied period of investment and progress, of evolution, to say, this is what makes sense, and we'll merge those, and we'll take that, and we'll move that to there, and those will become specialists in that. And let's enjoy being in charge of that agenda.
Now, we've talked about merging pools. The consultation, I don't think, talks about funds and whether funds should merge or there's an optimal size for funds. I mean, we've seen one or two fund merges every couple of years, perhaps. I mean, do you think 86 separate funds is a hindrance for the LGPS to punch at its weight as the, you know, the world's 7th biggest pension fund?
Well, that's where pooling helps on an investment side. There are issues. Look, you know, post-COVID, every fund has got job vacancies. And the smaller funds in particular, there's more responsibilities coming on. That's why the benefit of pooling, you get a centre of expertise, which particularly the smaller and moderate funds are benefiting from. I do not doubt that if we were to sit down with this conversation in 10 years' time, I'd be surprised if there were still 86. But I go back to this issue that would be done by sensible understanding of the issues and, as we've done in the past, sensible mergers, because it suits, because it makes for better administration, better governance, and, you know, and supports better investment. So that's the way I see the way forward. And like any business, when you have a large number, you tend to see the development of any sort of business or sector, that it does tend to get a smaller number of cohorts.
I mean, looking at the stats, London always stands out to me. You've got, 32 funds of about £1 billion each, whereas a lot of other funds around the country are, you know, multiples of that. I mean, do you think London is somewhere where that could benefit from funds merging?
That's always been made the case. But again, that needs an honest conversation between those funds to discuss and say, right, well, where's the business case that say that we could actually administer these pensions in a, you know, as good and in a better way, that our governance would improve? And if you can make that case and make that argument, then you do it. But again, I say that the best way to do that is proactively engage in the discussion and make the decision yourself and not be told, oi, you're joining somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely. So the government consultation ends on the 2nd of October. It's a funny consultation because you can see lots of different elements in it. Some of it's driven from the Treasury, some from the Department of Levelling Up Housing and Communities. Do you have any sense of what the government's red lines in it are, the things that will not change when we get the government's final proposals? And do you have a sense of things where they might be open to argument and persuasion from the LGPS community?
Well, I think increasingly, I think that I'm not so sure it's a red line, but the clear direction of travel is that the pooling is here to stay and must become more comprehensive. We also got to remember that we're talking about government, and governments can change. But broadly, you know, governments probably will think the same, whatever their colour, because they will see this as some sort of rich asset. But what they need to recognise, of course, it ain't their money. It belongs, you know, we are stewards of this money. Whatever colour or persuasion they are, they need to understand that. But rightly, they have that legal responsibility to oversee us. And rightly, they would say and encourage us in certain directions. And that's perfectly within the remit of any government to do. I go back to this point. We've got to make sure that we're proactive in this and actually control our own destiny where we can.
And I know, I mean, you as the Scheme Advisory Board, I think your own consultation response is pretty far down the line of being drafted, isn't it? Are there any key points that the board itself is making and would like to see the government really take on board?
Well, one of the issues we have is about capacity. There is a small team at the department, and there is a small team of the Scheme Advisory Board linked with the LGA. And frankly, that is a capacity issue. You know, we have been given extra responsibilities, and I'm having this conversation about reducing our budget, which in terms of individual funds is a minuscule amount of money. And it makes sense if we're supposed to, I'll give you the example of responsible investment. We as a Scheme Advisory Board must return an annual report about how the scheme and all the 86 funds are responding. Well, it's quite a headache to try and summarise all the 86 funds in our annual report. And so actually to try and bring together all that report on responsible investment, this is where it makes sense for the pools to start to, you know, to be the centre of excellence for responsible investment, and so that we can get similar sort of measurements, and that enhances our credibility and integrity as a pensioned a scheme, because we're under enormous pressure for that. But that can only be done with the capacity of staff. I mean, if we managed to get the McLeod business done, it was because we've seconded a member of staff to the department. This is the seventh largest pension scheme in the world. For heaven's sake, we ought to have that capacity. So one of the things that we're probably talking about, which I don't expect funds would be returning on, is saying, look, you've got to make sure that there's a sensible capacity to deal with this. And yes, we understand that the department may be under some pressure with regard to the number they've got, but at least give us the capacity that we can pick up some of these work streams. And it makes sense to deal with that rather than individual funds actually employing consultants who come up with different answers and create an even bigger mess. Let's have some common sense on this. So that's some of the particular issues that we're submitting.
Fantastic. I'll close by asking you to make a couple of quick predictions. You mentioned, you know, if we recorded this podcast in 10 years' time, what would things look like? How many pools do you think we'll have in 10 years' time?
No idea. As I said, that will be a decision for the funds.
I'm going to ask another question. You're going to give the same answer. How many funds do you think we'll have?
Well, yeah, exactly as I said, that will be an evolution decision made on sound evidence as to what makes sense to improve governance and administration. Don't forget, you know, we have to administer this to our pensioners. You know, I'm very proud of the fact that, you know, the pensions regulator and the pensions ombudsman has very few complaints about this massive scheme. We should be proud of that. We don't sing enough praises about that. We talk a lot, this is an investment conference, but, you know, it's very well administered. And that's a great credit to all those that are involved in it. We've got some very, very dedicated people who work for LGPS and are very committed to it.
Fantastic. I think that's a really nice note to end on, Roger. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Anybody listening, please do follow our investment stories on the lgcplus.com website. Do come to our future conferences and do listen in to future podcasts. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of the LGC Investment Series podcast, brought to you by Local Government Chronicle. The next event in our series is the LGC Investment Seminar, which will be held at the Carden Park Hotel in Cheshire between the 14th and 15th of March 2024. We hope to see you there. For more on the local government pension scheme, including news, features, and events, go to lgcplus.com/investment.